Chapter 22. He had no beard. Apostrophe, apostrophe, then it must have been Bowles. A young man? Apostrophe, quite young. His companion in the background seemed older. Apostrophe, they are all about the same age really. By the way, it couldn't have been Dare and Avil, surely. Would you recognize them again? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the young one possibly. The other not at all, for he remained in the shade. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Somerset endeavored to discern in a description by the chief constable the features of Mr. Bowles, but it seemed to approximate more closely to Dare in spite of himself. I'll make a sketch of the only one who had no business there, and show it to you, apostrophe, he presently said. I should like this cleared up. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Cunningham A. said he was going to Toneborough that afternoon, but would return in the evening before Somerset's departure. With this they parted. A possible motive for Dare's presence in the rooms had instantly presented itself to Somerset's mind, for he had seen Dare enter Avil's office more than once, as if he were at work there. He accordingly sat on the next stile, and taking out his pocketbook began a pencil sketch of Dare's head, to show to Mr. Hayes in the evening, for if Dare had indeed found admission with Avil, or as his agent, the design was lost. But he could not make a drawing that was a satisfactory likeness. Then he luckily remembered that Dare, in the intense warmth of admiration he had affected for Somerset on the first day or two of their acquaintance, had begged for his photograph, and in return for it had left one of himself on the mantelpiece, taken as he said by his own process. Somerset resolved to show this production to Mr. Hayes, as being more to the purpose than a sketch, and instead of finishing the latter, proceeded on his way. He entered the old overgrown drive which wound indirectly through the wood to Markton. The road, having been laid out for idling, rather than for progress, bent sharply hither and thither among the fissured trunks, and layers of horny leaves which lay there all the year round, interspersed with cushions of vivid green moss, that formed oases in the rust-red expanse. Reaching a point where the road made one of its bends between two large beeches, a man and woman revealed themselves at a few yards' distance, walking slowly towards him. In the short and quaint lady he recognized Charlotte de Stancy, whom he remembered not to have seen for several days. She slightly blushed and said, "Oh, this is pleasant, Mr. Somerset. Let me present my brother to you, Captain de Stancy of the Royal Horse Artillery." Apostrophe, apostrophe, her brother came forward, and shook hands heartily with Somerset, and they all three rambled on together, talking of the season, the place, the fishing, the shooting, and whatever else came uppermost in their minds. Captain de Stancy was a personage who would have been called interesting by women well out of their teens. He was ripe, without having declined a digit towards fogyism. He was sufficiently old and experienced to suggest a goodly accumulation of touching amorettes in the chambers of his memory, and not too old for the possibility of increasing the store. He was apparently about 38, less tall than his father had been, but admirably made, and his every movement exhibited a fine combination of strength and flexibility of limb. His face was somewhat thin and thoughtful, its complexion being naturally pale, though darkened by exposure to a warmer sun than ours. His features were somewhat striking, his mustache and hair raven black, and his eyes, denied the attributes of military keenness by reason of the largeness and darkness of their aspect, acquired thereby a softness of expression that was in part womanly. His mouth, as far as it could be seen, reproduced this characteristic, which might have been called weakness, or goodness, according to the mental attitude of the observer. It was large but well formed, and showed an unimpaired line of teeth within. His dress at present was a heather-colored rural suit, cut close to his figure. "You knew my cousin, Jack Ravensbury?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said to Somerset, as they went on. Poor Jack. He was a good fellow. Apostrophe, he was a very good fellow. apostrophe apostrophe, he would have been made a parson, if he had lived it was his great wish. I, as his senior, and a man of the world as I thought myself, used to chaff him about it, when he was a boy, and tell him not to be a milksop, but to enter the army. But I think Jack was right, the parsons have the best of it, I see now. Apostrophe apostrophe, they would hardly admit that, apostrophe said Somerset, laughing. Nor can I apostrophe apostrophe, nor I, apostrophe said the captain's sister. See how lovely you all looked with your big guns, and uniform when you entered Markton, and then see how stupid the parsons look by comparison, when they flock into Markton at a visitation. Apostrophe apostrophe, ah, yes, apostrophe said Destancy, doubtless it is a brilliant masquerade. But when of the first sight you've had your fill, it palls at least it does so upon me, this paradise of pleasure and ennui. When one is getting on 440, then we have made our love, and gamed our gaming, dressed, voted, shown, and maybe, something more, with dandies dined, heard senators declaiming, seen beauties brought to market by the score, and so on, there arises a strong desire for a quiet old-fashioned country life, in which incessant movement is not a necessary part of the program. Apostrophe apostrophe, but you are not 40, Will? Apostrophe apostrophe said Charlotte. My dear, I was 39 last January. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, men about here are youths at that age. It was India used you up so, when you served in the line, was it not? I wish you had never gone there. Apostrophe apostrophe, so do I, apostrophe said Destancy dryly. But I ought to grow a youth again, like the rest, now I am in my native air. Apostrophe apostrophe, they came to a narrow brook, not wider than a man's stride, and Miss Destancy halted on the edge. Why, Lottie, you used to jump it easily enough, apostrophe said her brother. But we won't make her do it now. Apostrophe he took her in his arms, and lifted her over, giving her a gratuitous ride for some additional yards, and saying, you are not a pound heavier, Lot, than you were at 10 years old. ... What do you think of the country here, Mr. Somerset? Are you going to stay long? Apostrophe apostrophe, I think very well of it, apostrophe said Somerset. But I leave tomorrow morning, which makes it necessary, that I turn back in a minute, or two from walking with you. Apostrophe apostrophe, that's a disappointment. I had hoped you were going to finish out the autumn with shooting. There's some, very fair, to be got here on reasonable terms, I've just heard. Apostrophe apostrophe, but you need not hire any. Apostrophe apostrophe spoke up Charlotte. Paula would let you shoot anything, I am sure. As he has not been here long enough to preserve much game, and the poachers had it all in Mr. Wilkins' time. But what there is you might kill with pleasure to her. Apostrophe apostrophe, no, thank you, apostrophe said Destancy grimly. I prefer to remain a stranger to Miss Power, Miss Steam Power, she ought to be called, and to all her possessions. Apostrophe apostrophe, Charlotte was subdued, and did not insist further, while Somerset, before he could feel himself able to decide on the mood in which the gallant captain's joke at Paula's expense should be taken, wondered whether it were a married man, or a bachelor who uttered it. He had not been able to keep the question of Destancy's domestic state out of his head from the first moment of seeing him. Assuming Destancy to be a husband, he felt there might be some excuse for his remark. If unmarried, Somerset liked the satire still better. In such circumstances there was a relief in the thought that Captain Destancy's prejudices might be infinitely stronger than those of his sister or father. Going tomorrow, did you say, Mr. Somerset? Apostrophe apostrophe asked Miss Destancy. Then will you dine with us today? My father is anxious that you should do so before you go. I am sorry there will be only our own family present to meet you, but you can leave as early as you wish. Apostrophe apostrophe, her brother seconded the invitation, and Somerset promised, though his leisure for that evening was short. He was in truth somewhat inclined to like Destancy, Therefore, though the captain had said nothing of any value either on war, commerce, science, or art, he had seemed attractive to the younger man. Beyond the natural interest a soldier has for imaginative minds in the civil walks of life, Destancy's occasional manifestations of tedium vitae were too poetically shaped to be repellent. Gallantry combined in him with a sort of ascetic self-repression in a way that was curious. He was a dozen years older than Somerset. His life had been passed in grooves remote from those of Somerset's own life, and the latter decided that he would like to meet the artillery officer again. Bidding them a temporary farewell, he went away to Markton by a shorter path than that pursued by the Destancys, and after spending the remainder of the afternoon preparing for departure, he sallied forth just before the dinner hour towards the suburban villa. He had become yet more curious whether a Mrs. Destancy existed. If there were one, he would probably see her tonight. He had an irrepressible hope that there might be such a lady. On entering the drawing room, only the father, son, and daughter were assembled. Somerset fell into talk with Charlotte during the few minutes before dinner, and his thought found its way out. "There is no Mrs. Destancy?" he said in an undertone. "None," she said. "My brother is a bachelor." The dinner having been fixed at an early hour to suit Somerset, they had returned to the drawing room at 8 o'clock. About 9 he was aiming to get away. "You are not off yet?" said the captain. "There would have been no hurry," said Somerset, "had I not just remembered that I have left one thing undone which I want to attend to before my departure. I want to see the chief constable tonight. Cunningham Hayes, he is the very man I too want to see. But he went out of town this afternoon, and I hardly think you will see him tonight. His return has been delayed." "Then the matter must wait." "I have left word at his house asking him to call here if he gets home before 10:30, but at any rate I shall see him tomorrow morning. Can I do anything for you, since you are leaving early?" Somerset replied that the business was of no great importance, and briefly explained the suspected intrusion into his studio, that he had with him a photograph of the suspected young man. "If it is a mistake," added Somerset, "I should regret putting my draftsman's portrait into the hands of the police, since it might injure his character. Indeed, it would be unfair to him. So I wish to keep the likeness in my own hands, and merely to show it to Mr. Hayes. That's why I prefer not to send it. My matter with Hayes is that the barrack furniture does not correspond with the inventories. If you like, I'll ask your question at the same time with pleasure." Thereupon Somerset gave Captain Destancy an unfastened envelope containing the portrait, asking him to destroy it if the constable should declare it not to correspond with the face that met his eye at the window. Soon after, Somerset took his leave of the household. He had not been absent 10 minutes when other wheels were heard on the gravel without, and the servant announced Mr. Cunningham Hayes, who had returned earlier than he had expected, and had called as requested. They went into the dining room to discuss their business. When the barrack matter had been arranged, Destancy said, "I have a little commission to execute for my friend Mr. Somerset. I am to ask you if this portrait of the person he suspects of unlawfully entering his room is like the man you saw there?" The speaker was seated on one side of the dining table and Mr. Hayes on the other. As he spoke, Destancy pulled the envelope from his pocket and half drew out the photograph, which he had not as yet looked at, to hand it over to the constable. In the act, his eye fell upon the portrait, with its uncertain expression of age, assured look, and hair worn in a fringe like a girl's. Captain Destancy's face became strained, and he leant back in his chair, having previously had sufficient power over himself to close the envelope and return it to his pocket. "Good heavens, you are ill," Captain DeStancy? Apostrophe apostrophe said the chief constable. It was only momentary, apostrophe said DeStancy. Better in a minute a glass of water will put me right. Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Hayes got him a glass of water from the sideboard. These spasms occasionally overtake me, apostrophe said DeStancy when he had drunk. I am already better. What were we saying? Oh, this affair of Mr. Somerset's. I find that this envelope is not the right one. Apostrophe apostrophe he ostensibly searched his pocket again. I must have mislaid it, apostrophe he continued, rising. I'll be with you again in a moment. Apostrophe apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.